Welcome to the Contagious Victories podcast. Each week, we talk inspiration, explore possibilities, and share insights from creative perspectives. I'm Tori Blackman, and I'm here to remind you that your purpose in life is to celebrate the victories, because victories are contagious. Hi there, and welcome back to the Contagious Victories podcast. My name is Victoria B. Glass, and I am so incredibly grateful to have you tuning in and listening to the show today. Now, I am going to get into a really wonderful conversation that I had with a friend by the name of Adriana Webb. She's known by her friends as AJ. But before I do, I just want to take a minute to truly say thank you. Yeah, thank you. You who is listening to this podcast right now, whether you are tuning in the car, on the way to somewhere important like a meeting or to the coffee shop, or you who is out working out at the gym or walking their sweet pet around the neighborhood, however you have invited me into the moment, I really appreciate you giving me your ear. The thing is, I've been feeling super grateful lately because I have been connecting with more people through this show. New guests, new listeners, and it still just amazes me when someone shares the show or tags me in a post on their Instagram. It inspires me, and it makes me want to continue to show up and to add value to your life in bigger ways and to be a better person myself by bringing you these episodes of Contagious Victories, these stories by real people that I've been inspired by and that I hope inspire you to be better too. So thank you. Truly. All right. Like I mentioned before, I am talking with my friend AJ today. Like many of you who are listening, AJ is the founder of a creative business. She made her childhood dream of becoming a photographer true with her business, Adriana Joy Photography. AJ is here to tell us all about what it's like to capture weddings and adventurous elopements. I don't want to keep you waiting on this combo, so let's hear my conversation with AJ Webb. So I have another remarkable guest with me on the show today. I am speaking with AJ Webb, who is the founder of Adriana Joy Photography, and she serves the Midwest and anywhere with her adventurous elopement photography and couples photography. So I'm so excited to dive in to her victory story today. AJ, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I am so excited to be here.
So AJ, our story and friendship began a couple years back when we ran into each other, not just at a conference, but at Target, out of all the places. And the reason you stood out, not just your business, but you stood out, is because you were so incredibly kind. And you spoke up to me and my husband when we were shopping in Target, which we had no idea what we were there for or like what we were doing. But, and you just said, "Hey, I know you, you're Tori, right?" And I was like, "Yes, hi." So just that courage that you showed just to reach out to a complete stranger in a city across from where you live. So, cause you were in a city in a Target that you probably didn't frequent very often. So, so I knew right away that I would be keeping tabs with you. And hopefully that was the beginning of a friendship. And look at us years later. And here we are. Well, tell me more about yourself. What is the number one thing that you enjoy about being a photographer and a creative?
Oh my goodness. I love basically everything about it. I love being able to set my own schedule and have flexibility. And I love just being able to meet new people, even though sometimes, like as an introvert, that can be kind of scary. I think it's super fun to just get to meet new people and get to like showcase who they are as an individual and as a couple, because everyone's so unique. So I just love getting to do that. And obviously also because I do travel sometimes for my work, I love getting to do that, getting to go to new cities and new states and all of those things. It's really fun getting to like see different cultures and try new food and all of that stuff too.
Oh yeah. Well, on your website, when I was reading through it last night, I noticed in your bio that you said you've known for a really long time what you wanted to do with your life. Can you elaborate a little bit about that and just tell me what all you had to overcome to get to the place that you are in right now? And for all of our listeners, I just want to elaborate a little bit more. You've been doing this for 10 years almost, right? Yeah. I mean, a lot of my creative friends, they don't have that victory story. So I want you to tell me a little bit about just all of the challenges that you've had to go through. But it started at a young age. At 11, you knew you wanted to be a creative. So let's go as far back as that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I love talking about it. Yeah. So long story short, I was in a very close family friend's wedding when I was 11 or 12, and I was a junior bridesmaid. And wedding on went on like normal. And at the reception, which was at a family friend's house, I was playing with someone's DSLR camera. And I was taking photos, you know, of like the tables and whatever. And I was just dinking around in like this little corner that we were in. And the person whose camera it was looked at them and said that I had a great eye. And then later in the night, he actually gave me like a little like pocket camera. And that was my first camera that I ever got. And I took it with me pretty much everywhere. I always had it with me. And I had like, over the years, I had a ton of those little pocket cameras. And I took photos on family trips, school events, really anything and everything. I definitely documented a lot. And so it kind of started there, just like an interest in documenting my life. And it wasn't something that it was like, you know, I hadn't started like a blog, like it wasn't anything crazy like that, but it was just for myself to just even have those memories, which is super fun to be able to look back on now. So yeah, and then probably in like the later half of my high school years, a friend of mine and I, we would go out and like take photos of each other quite often. We would sometimes just do kind of portraits. Sometimes we would do themed little shoots and things like that just for fun. We just like took them of each other just kind of to practice. Once it was, you know, getting to the end of high school and you're kind of having to decide like what you're going to do next, I knew that I wanted to stay in Dubuque where I'm from. And the reason for that was because my family was going through an adoption process at the time, actually, for my youngest brother, Lincoln. So he, at the time when I was graduating, was not home yet. And so I didn't really want to move away and have it be a situation where once he was home, he didn't know me or wasn't super familiar because I would only be home, you know, maybe on the weekend or maybe for holidays and things like that. And so I had decided to stay close to home so that I could actually be a part of his life and actually feel like a sister and not feel just like some random person in his life who was in and out. And so
now, is this the brother that recently I think turned 16? Was that?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. 16. Okay. Just for the timeline. Yep.
Yeah. So I decided to stay close to home and I ended up just going to a local community college, mainly honestly, because I just at the time I felt the pressures of going to college. I don't know that I really felt in my soul that it was like the right choice for me, especially because I knew that I wanted to do photography and I really had no idea what that was going to look like. I just knew that I liked taking photos. I didn't really like think of the business part of it at all. And so I just went to this community college for 2 years for their business program. And I don't necessarily regret going, but I definitely don't think that it was like necessary to go, especially because the business program absolutely was just geared towards like corporate businesses where they have, you know, like 500 employees or something. And it really had like nothing to do with small businesses. And there wasn't really much that I could take away from those. Like one of the examples that I always give is they taught you how to like, you know, do the math of figuring out like how many staples you need for like the corporation of 500 people. And I'm like, I don't need to know that because like I'm one person, like I'm going to be able to keep track of like those little expenses a lot easier for myself than if I was obviously, you know, having to keep like a locker full of like all of these supplies and things like that. So anyway, after that, I was just, doing photography as more just like a side gig. Throughout college, I was working part-time at a local grocery store.
Okay.
But I had officially like started my business, quote unquote, very late 2013. So the same year that I had graduated high school. And I just started doing sessions, you know, for like $50. They were awful. They were so bad, but I'm so thankful that people, you know, took a chance on me. I did back then like anything and everything. So I think my first couple of sessions were like family sessions and like a gender reveal and like things like that. Just like things that I don't typically do anymore.
Well, how fun was that though? Like if you can think back to what you felt like in that first year, just like people giving you your money to do your creative passion. Like, can you elaborate a little bit about like how you were feeling that first year?
Yeah, I think every time that someone booked me, I think I was just so excited that someone was like willing to book me when I virtually had no experience in that way. I mean, I had been taking photos, like I said, for years, but like obviously documenting like your school's like basketball game is very different than taking like family portraits that might be hung on someone's wall. So I think I just felt super lucky. And honestly, like I still feel that way. Like, honestly, every time I get booked, like I literally just like say praise God. And I'm just so thankful that I get booked because like I do. I feel so lucky even over 10 years now later. So yeah, I think it was just like a wild ride. I think I just really had no idea what I was doing besides taking photos. So I was really like learning as I went.
And that's wonderful.
Like,
the best part.
I think that's the way to go. Like, I don't know. I think I'm a very hands-on person in that way. So not that I couldn't have gone to school for photography specifically, but I think learning as I have gone on, like, is something that I'm very proud of. I just know, like, I'm the one who put in all of the work for what I did. And, like, I've been the one to, like, I don't know, learn and grow throughout, and it wasn't like handed to me. So yeah, like I'm very proud of that. But yeah, anyway, so like things like that, my friend who had been, her and I had been like exchanging shoots, like she helped me learn how to edit in Lightroom and like things like that, that I just literally had no idea like how to do anything in there. And she kind of gave me a couple of pointers, and then it was just a lot of trial and error from there. And then continuing on, I got married myself in 2015. Did not have the best experience photography-wise for my wedding. Long story short, the photographer we had booked ended up backing out 2 weeks before. We had to find someone last minute. That person ended up being way better than the original person was going to be, but it was still like a hot mess. And so I've taken my mistakes that I made at my own wedding when I was very young, and I've applied that to helping my own couples to like not make the same mistake, and just kind of showing them the value of having solid vendors who know what they're doing and things like that. And so yeah, anyway, and then in late 2017 I officially became an LLC with the state of Iowa, which was very exciting. It felt like a really, really big step to become like a legal business. But I had been, you know, dabbling in it for a couple of years at that point. So I felt like it was kind of time to do that. I highly recommend, you know, if you're a newer photographer starting out listening to this, that you become an LLC earlier rather than later. The sooner that you can legally back yourself up, the better. Again, I was just very uneducated, so I just didn't know. I just was, you know, doing things as I learned them.
To cut in, a lot of times, just depending on where you are, it sounds a lot scarier to become an LLC just because you've heard other businesses your whole life with that little, you know, LLC, those letters behind their name. But it's really just a Google search, and you'll be off, you know, stepping in the right direction towards making that legal step. So yes, if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, I know I need to, but I haven't yet, then it's actually a lot easier done than waiting. So go ahead and Google that. So
highly recommend. And then I guess jumping back one step. So in 2016, I started taking on weddings, and that was not something that I really like planned on. I'm not one of those people who necessarily could say like, oh, because I had the experience that I had with my wedding photographer, that's what made me want to get into weddings. I think that definitely became a reason that has pushed me forward in weddings, but I think it initially really started just because someone asked. There was actually two different couples at the church that my husband and I go to who asked if I would do their wedding. And I'd only second shot like a couple of weddings at that point. So I really had no idea what I was doing for weddings, since they're a whole different ballgame. But thankfully, those two couples, and then actually a third couple, ended up booking me for that year, which was wonderful. And the growth from the first wedding to the third wedding itself even was crazy. And so I'm so thankful that especially those early days couples, that they took a chance on me, because like it could have, I think, been a lot worse than it was. So I'm really glad that those experiences like went the way that they did. And I learned like so much at each one. And so from there, I kind of just was like, all right, I'm just going to like keep doing weddings. Like, I really like this. This is a lot of fun. And so, yeah, I've been shooting weddings since then. I think this year will be my 9th year shooting weddings.
Okay.
Which is wild. It feels really exciting to get close to being 10 years into doing weddings. I've done tons of different kinds of weddings. I've done, you know, courthouse ones. I've done ones that are in a barn. I've done, ones where I have to like fly across the country. Like, I've done a lot of different types of weddings. And I've found over the years that the smaller, more intimate weddings where it's, you know, 25 to 50 people at most type of weddings, whether it's in, you know, a backyard or it's at like a national park, those are definitely the type of weddings that light my soul on fire. I love getting to do those weddings for various reasons, but I think mainly it's just because the day is just so, it's a lot slower, it's more intentional, which I love that. I love that we're not necessarily like rushing around trying to get, you know, X, Y, and Z covered in this day. And then I think it's nice too to just see like the couple enjoy themselves and they're not necessarily like exhausted or like bogged down by feeling like there's a million people that they have to talk to and a million things they have to do. So those are the days that I definitely really enjoy doing. And I've loved all of the weddings that I've done. So it's not to talk down on any of those. It's just, those are definitely like the favorite ones that I like to do. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. Just continuing on shooting smaller weddings and a couple of adventurous elopements and things like that.
Can you elaborate a little bit about what all that entails? I think it's so rad because it really does. Yeah. It seems like just all around the bride, the photographer, the family, like it really checks all the boxes as far as getting those beautiful photos that, you know, can be on your wall or on your Instagram or wherever, you know, they're beautiful and they're just so different than anything that I feel like wedding photos have been before, at least the last 10 years, you know, like there's just so much drama in them and I love it.
Yeah.
And then also like as a bride, you get to have that special, like you said, intimate moment with just your husband in a kind of like a honeymoon setting already in some cases. Yeah. And then just, I don't know. I think they're so cool. Like it's just, it blows my mind that people get to do that as a job. And then also for their wedding, it is so neat. Yeah. I love how things have evolved.
Yeah. It's super fun.
Are people really getting married or is it kind of different each time?
I think it obviously depends per wedding. So for instance, I have one coming up in a few months here where they actually had their wedding in Mexico. But with all of the legalities of getting married somewhere else, they didn't technically get legally married, but they just had, you know, their traditional type wedding with their friends and family. And then they're hiring me for their quote unquote elopement is what we're calling it, where they're actually like legally signing the papers and having a small ceremony with basically just them and their officiant. And so I think it really depends. I think it depends on like where you're getting married. Sometimes it's just easier to do a more quote unquote elopement where maybe it doesn't end up with, you know, signed papers at the end of it. And you just do that once you get home.
Yeah.
But yeah, most of the ones I think that I've done have been like legal ceremonies, as well as I've done a lot of basically just bridal sessions where the couple will you know, maybe have their ceremony at a courthouse, or maybe they'll have like a small backyard shindig or something like that. And then we will go off into, you know, the mountains or wherever they want to have their photos taken and do their elopement, like photos there where they're dressed up and all that. So it looks, you know, very much like a normal wedding day would be, but it might just not have all of the traditional, other extra things going on. So,
And the people and all the, I love it. Well, that was just something that popped up into my mind. And I was like, I've got to ask her that.
Yeah.
And then another thing that I just thought of. So for these elopement weddings and these elopement sessions, what's all in your photography bag? Do you carry anything extra, like tied to go pins or anything like that are specifically for the more adventurous sessions that you have?
Sure. I feel like I actually almost in some ways pack less for my adventure weddings than I do for my like local, more traditional weddings. I think mainly I just have maybe like an extra pair of like socks or something on me. I think I also will have rain gear. So I have like a thing that goes over my camera, and I sometimes will have, you know, maybe gloves or something like that to help, you know, protect myself in case there were to be weather that we maybe weren't expecting, versus like a more traditional wedding where there might be another like option of where we could be at.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Things like that. So yeah, I think mainly just, yeah, like my normal stuff. And I think, yeah, like I said, it's more actually my local weddings that I have my like go bag that has, yeah, like a tied type pen. I have crochet hooks for helping get like, you know, the bride's like getting beaded up. Yeah, her buttoned up. Things like that. So I have like, you know, Band-Aids. I have all that type of stuff in my normal bag. But because typically when I do adventure weddings, I'm, you know, flying, I can't necessarily bring all of that extra stuff. And typically we don't need it too, because typically in those situations, the couple is more than okay with, you know, maybe getting a little bit dirty. Usually their dress, you know, the bottom like couple of inches might just be a little bit dirty from walking around. And so we don't really need like a thing like a Tide pen, because they're just kind of go with the flow. They're like, if it gets dirty, it gets dirty. If it doesn't, that's fine too. So
it's so wonderful how the more kind of like extreme the landscape and like the area that you're like photographing, the kind of like less you need. And I love that because it just shows off the love even more. And in your photos, I was looking through them this morning. They are so gorgeous and the love just shines through. Mm-hmm. And I love the work that you do. You are so talented. Yeah. And another thing that I just remembered, I notice a lot of black and white photos that you do. Is that a preference, like a personal preference? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a personal preference. I think obviously every photographer does it differently. I don't do like a black and white copy for every photo. It's really just like vibes, basically. I just will go through and be like, that photo would look sick in black and white. And sometimes I'll also like add some grain to it to make it look more filmy. So yeah, I think, I don't know. I think sometimes black and white can just almost tell a little bit of a different story. And I think it makes it sometimes more like romantic and things like that. I always give a color copy so that if they want a color copy, they have that as well. But yeah, I don't know. There's something about a black and white to me, and I just, yeah, I love it. So.
You made me like black and white again. Like I fell in love with it all over again, looking at those photos. And you're really good at it. You do know which ones are sick in black and white. Like I like how you did that.
Yeah, years ago, it wasn't super intentional, I think, initially, but years ago, I started doing black and white for every other photo on my Instagram feed. I don't know if you've noticed that, but I do a black and white and then a color and then a black and white and a color, and I've done that for years, and I think it's a mixture for me of it helps keep my Instagram feed very clean looking, but also, like, yeah, like I said, I do really love the black and white photos. I'm a sucker for them, so it helps me to be able to, like, show those off, too.
It is another way that you stand out in a very authentic way that is AJ. So I really liked that. I wanted to ask about that. All right. Well, tell me a little bit about, I guess, your example of your everyday work week. One of the things in the last couple of weeks that we've been doing, if we've been having awesome little Zoom calls where we're just co-working and things like that. Is that something you've always done to establish fun in your work week, or are there other things? Tell me a little bit about your work week.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the Zoom calls, the co-working calls, I feel like that's been probably under a year that I've been doing that. And it just kind of started with, just wanting to like have some people to talk to every now and then to have some company while you work. And that's been super fun. I've really enjoyed getting to co-work with, you know, friends all over the United States and just get a lot of things checked off of our to-do list as well. As of right now, my work schedule typically is Monday through Friday. In my off season, I have been doing a little bit more time off where I've been working just Monday through Thursday, just for the fact that in my busy season, sometimes I'm working 6 or 7 days a week. And so I just like to, when I have the opportunity, give myself a little bit of extra time off to prepare, myself for the busy season. I think I just typically will sit down and just mainly look through my emails. That's how I start my day each day. And then I have worked really hard recently on, giving myself tasks per day so that I kind of have direction on what I'm going to do. So right now in my off season, quote unquote, and off season just means that I'm not out taking photos like every week, like I typically am when I'm in my busy season. I will do tasks like working on guides for my clients or updating things in my backend, like my, you know, my emails or my website and things like that. So the last few months I've been working really hard on getting a lot of those tasks done because I'm about to enter a busy spurt here soon. And once I'm in that, then I'm mainly just going to be in my editing cave, as I call it. So once I have sessions to edit, that's pretty much what I focus mainly on, other than obviously keeping up with client emails and things like that. So yeah, my work days are like pretty simple. I feel like they look the same pretty much every day. I do like to schedule, if I can, like a co-working call once a week or once every other week if possible, just because having that time where we can connect with, you know, each other is super fun, but also have that dedicated time to just zone in and really just get like solid work done is super fun too.
It's helped me with just not being so lonely. Like I have an editing cave too. And even though we work on different types of photography and videography and media and stuff, it can get really lonely. Even just like, I love being in my house. I don't take it for granted, but sometimes it's like, I haven't seen anyone besides my husband in like days.
Yeah.
So I've really enjoyed the co-working calls and I'm looking forward to getting on to more. Sometimes I can make it, sometimes I can't, but if I'm available, I'm there. And you've really just helped me in that way of being that kind friend. Like you didn't target that one time. Speaking of editing caves, do you keep anything special in yours to keep it nice when you are in that zone? You got like a candle or anything like, you know,
No, it's not cute. I have blackout curtains, and so I shut those. And because I prefer to have it as dark as possible so that I can see my screen better. And so it's definitely not like aesthetic by any means. But yeah, I close the curtains, and typically I just have like a drink or two next to me to help keep me like hydrated and like also just give me energy. And yeah, I really just kind of, you know, zone out into that. I'll typically listen to like music or a podcast, or I'll put on like a show or something on my phone so that I am, you know, somewhat entertained while I'm working. Yeah. And it just helps me to stay locked in while I do it. And I always laugh when I call it my editing cave, just because, yeah, if you come over and you see it and it's just black, people sometimes think it's kind of funny, but it really helps me to, yeah, like see my screen, like I said. And I've had years where I'll mainly edit like in the evening because it is darker. So I've had times like that where I'm not really feeling like the editing, you know, in the editing zone during the day. So maybe sometimes I'll take like the afternoon off and then I'll work the evening so that one, so it's darker, but also sometimes I do just work better in the evening. So yeah, I'll just be in my editing cave, which
that's
is
a good tip. Funny,
but I love it.
No, I like that. And I love having my little area where I know that is my work zone. Just like mentally, it seems like a spot that I like park myself in, because that's where I go to, I mean, this is it right here. Yeah. But one of the things that I do kind of find myself getting annoyed with is the reflection of this wall or this window on my screen. And I also don't want, you know, to move my room around. So I need to get some blackout curtains. That's
Amazon, man. They're great.
Yeah. I mean, I think about it for sleep, but I've never thought about it for editing. That's good.
Yeah. It's super helpful. It definitely like transforms this room. So like right now the sun is coming through the windows in my office, which is great. I love it. But yeah, when I'm trying to edit and trying to see, you know, my photos really clearly, it makes it harder. So yeah, I like to shut the curtains and be able to, turn up my brightness on my computer and just zone into that. So yeah.
Hey, everyone knows themselves and how they work. And I love exchanging tips, because sometimes you might be looking for that one little hack or that one little tip. And it's like, oh, this is what I do. And, you know, just tossing those back and forth, is what I feel like you find your groove, and that's how you start to improve and make progress with your working styles and productivity and things. So that's neat. I'm glad you shared that. So we've still got a lot of 2024 left. Do you have any elopements or weddings booked in anywhere like anywhere fun?
I do. Yeah, I'm very excited. Yeah, my first wedding of the year will be in Rochester, Minnesota. And I'm very excited to go there for a different reason than I've ever been. I've only ever been there for my brother's hospital visits. And so I'm very excited to go up there and have it be for like a happier reason. So I'm excited for that. And then, yeah, the next weekend I will be in Tennessee for a wedding. And I am like so, so excited for that wedding. They're having, I think, around like 50 people. It's going to be at this beautiful Airbnb with this back deck that definitely hosts elopements. And yeah, I'm just super excited about that. The couple is wonderful. The bride is a big Swiftie like myself. She was actually at the Eras Tour show that I went to last year. And she was so amazing. She actually saved my butt and let me use her battery charger for my phone because I brought two, but I brought the wrong cord on accident. And so I was just using my phone like, oh, I have two battery packs. I'm going to be able to use this all night long. And then it got down to like 30%. And I was like, oh man, I am screwed. And so I knew that she was at the show. And so I messaged her and she, crazy enough, was in the same section as me. And so she met me at the top and I got that from her. And then we said, you know, hi. And then after the show, I got to like officially like meet her in person.
That was the first time y'all met?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, we had talked over Zoom, but that was like the first time we met was just she met me at the top, was like, here you go. And I grabbed it. And then we ran back down to our seats so that we could keep watching the concert. And then at the end, I gave it back to her and we talked for a few minutes. But yeah, that was the first time that I met her, which was so crazy. But yeah, I was so thankful that she was there and she was able to help me with my phone battery. So
yeah.
I'm super excited to see her again.
That's a good story. And yeah, did you go to see the Eras Tour in Nashville or where did you see it?
No, we were both at the Kansas City show. We were actually, so we weren't there for the Speak Now announcement or when it came out and when Taylor Lautner was there, which was very unfortunate. No, we were there the next day. So Kansas City night two, but I feel very special about that because that was my 28th birthday. So that was like a super like great way to spend my birthday. But now that we know that they're together, that was the night that Travis was there. And that was the infamous night that he wanted to give her the bracelet with his number and wasn't able to. So yeah, I feel really special that I was at the show that he was at.
Oh, yeah.
And I had no idea at the time, but yeah.
But still special. I mean, that's the one that stands out to Taylor. So,
right. You know. Right. I mean, it's the start of it all.
Yeah. And then I bet the vibe just post the release, like prior to the night before, you know, the night before was really fun, just energetically and stuff. And I've been watching them all online.
Me too.
That's cool. And that's great that. Yeah. For this upcoming 2024 wedding that you have such great memories with the bride. That's so great. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. We're super excited. We're already planning on jamming out to some Taylor Swift at her reception. So yeah, it's going to be super fun.
Well, cool. So AJ, tell me a little bit about what you had to overcome to get where you are right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I've had to overcome my own, but also other people's judgment of working for yourself. That was something that had come up a couple of times from people in my life. I had, you know, someone ask me, you know, how is your photography business going with air quotes? And that was really painful because it just gave, you know, like the connotation that it wasn't a real thing and that it was just this like little side thing that I did, but like it wasn't legitimate. And of course I knew at the end of the day that it was legitimate, but, comments like that or asking, you know, when are you going to get like a quote unquote real job, AKA one that I'm not working for myself, things like that. I've had a couple of those comments over the years. And those were really painful at the time, but I've just had to take a step back and just focus on what I know and what my like closest loved ones know. And they all know how hard I work and that I, you know, make an actual income. So yeah, when I've like really taken a step back and looked back at my like history every year, whether that's with how much I've made or the types of sessions that I've done, every single year there's been growth in one way or another. And so when I just look at those like stats on my own, I just have to like just sit in that fact and just know like, hey, I am a legitimate business and like I said, I do contribute to my family and things like that. And so I've just had to let those comments kind of go to the wayside. I think the world has changed a lot, especially since 2020. I think so many more people now are small business owners in so many different aspects. And so I think it's becoming a lot more, a lot bigger of a thing, and it's becoming a lot more accepted. So I think that narrative is probably changing a lot already. But I think just, at the end of the day, just remembering, you know what, I'm helping my husband pay the bills and he knows that. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. So if, you know, so-and-so doesn't think that I'm working a legitimate job, they can think what they want, but you know, they're not in my shoes. And so I think also, just really trying to remind myself to just put my head down and not worry about possibly what people think, because I know, like, without a shadow of a doubt that I am doing what the Lord wants me to do. That has never been a question for my business. I have always known from day one that this is what I'm supposed to do. I think I also have always felt very lucky that I've known what I was going to do for so long. I don't think it's super common for, you know, a high schooler to know, like, I mean, I knew probably from like freshman, sophomore year that that was the path that I was going to go down. And then I just, you know, started more heavily pursuing it in my later high school years. And I don't think that that's like a super common thing. I think it's very common for high schoolers and people even in college and beyond to not quite know what they want to do. So I think I've just always had to rely on the fact that the Lord has always made it very clear to me that this is the path that I'm supposed to be on. And so again, at the end of the day, if people, you know, may not agree with that, or if they think that it's not legitimate, at the end of the day, like, I know that this is the path that the Lord wants me on. And so I'm just going to stand firm in that.
I hear that. Amen. I was just talking to Dylan this morning about sometimes the hardest part is listening to God, like when he speaks directly to you. And I think that a lot of high schoolers and sophomores and even college students, they do know what the Lord has put on their heart, but they listen to everyone else. They listen to the people who doubt them and who don't think they can legitimately make a life or business for themselves. And it's like, who are they like to say that? No, listen to what God's put on your heart. Follow the talents and passions that he gave you and just run with it. Don't listen to anyone else. And when you do, then you're going to be celebrating just like AJ is, looking back and saying, it's normal, I feel like, to have that on your heart. It's not normal to stay focused and to listen and actually follow through with it. So that's the part that everyone could do, but no one does. And it sets you apart when you do. I hope that was the right way to explain it, because what you said was right. And it was right for you. And so that's what we're here doing and celebrating.
Absolutely.
So AJ, this has been a wonderful conversation. I've really enjoyed it. And I know that all of the listeners who are creatives themselves, or might be just on the brink of starting their own creative business, they're going to get a lot out of this conversation too. Is there anything else you want to leave them with or leave me with, or any recommendations that you might have just before we wrap up the episode?
Yeah. If you're considering starting a business, whether it's photography or not, or you're new into having your business, like we mentioned earlier, I think getting legally backed is super important. So research that. And it's, like we said, it's not very complicated, but I think that's definitely like a great way to start. And then if you are specifically in photography, I highly recommend second shooting. I did not do a lot of that, and I kind of wish that I had. I think it would have given me a lot of knowledge earlier on in my business that I had to learn on my own, which is totally fine. But I think I could have made bigger strides in my business if I had done some more second shooting. So I think whether it's, you know, weddings or whatever type of session, you can totally ask people who are local to you to second shoot and just kind of watch what they do and kind of absorb that. And I think that's super great. As well as, again, if you're photography specific, I highly recommend the Heart University. Evie and Lindsay are both like incredible people and incredible business owners. And I'm so thankful that I've gotten to virtually and in person learn from them multiple times. So I highly recommend looking into what they offer, because it is worth every single penny and more. I've invested a lot of money into their education, so I do not say it lightly that I recommend them. Yeah, I recommend just, I don't know, don't be afraid to fail. I think that was something that I also learned at this last conference, was don't be afraid to fail and make mistakes. Obviously, always try your hardest, but you're going to learn more from those mistakes than you are probably anything else. So I know for myself, the wedding days that had some hiccups in them, things like that, I have then taken those experiences and turned them into ways that I can serve my clients better in the future. So one of the weddings that I shot like over 7 years ago, you know, the groom went off to find this aunt, and then the aunt showed up, but the groom didn't. And then so-and-so went to go find the groom, and then the groom showed up, and it was just like this hot mess. And so I've just really implemented with my couples, making sure you have a list of what photos you want ahead of time, making sure that the people who know that they're going to be in those photos, that you make them aware that, hey, photos are at this time. So things like that are just examples of ways that I've just taken experiences that didn't necessarily go perfectly, and that I'm able to then, you know, hopefully turn that around into like a positive thing for my future couples. So yeah, I think just like, don't be afraid of those moments, because they're bound to happen. I mean, even the most, you know, elite photographers that we all look up to, I mean, they were where we were at one point, and they also, I'm sure, have their own hiccups and mistakes that they're still making. So just don't be afraid of that. Just allow yourself to learn from like every situation that you're in, because I think there's so much to learn, and like there's always ways to grow. And obviously just life in general, but I think especially as business owners. So just doing that, I think, will get you a long way.
That's all really, really good advice. And you're so right. And I couldn't agree more about the just being able to see that the mistakes aren't really mistakes. They might be in the moment, but when you look back on them and you reflect on them, then those are the moments that literally point to change and how to get better. It's like, if you want to get better as a creative, as a photographer, as a person, as a business owner, then don't be afraid of failure. And reflect back on those moments where you might have messed up, and don't look at them as mess ups. Look at them as answers, as how to get better. So yes, great advice.
Yeah.
And you said something earlier that I made a little mental note about, and I wanted to bring it back around. And, you know, sometimes when you do something in the moment, you're like, I might be so silly for doing this. But then when you hear someone else do it too, you're like, okay, actually, maybe that's good. That's like, you know, I'm on the right track. So earlier you mentioned that every single time you get a booking, you say a little prayer and you say, thank you, God. Dylan and I do that with Cacti Palm. And we literally, if we're in the moment, if we're alone, I hear him sometimes in the other room, it'll ding on our phone. Thank you, God. So like, if you really, really are worried about getting started and you're like, I have this creative idea, but like, what if no one takes that first chance on me? What if no one's willing to pay me? Then here's something that you can do right now that costs you absolutely nothing. One, pray about it. Two, imagine that first booking coming in and you say in a prayer of thank you and of gratitude and just go ahead and right now, like feel grateful for that first client. And then every moment after that, when you do get booked, because I believe in you that much, I do, I really do, say a prayer, say thank you, and never like, don't ever take it for granted, whether it's the first booking or whether it's the 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000th booking, like always be grateful. So that obviously shines off of you, AJ, and with your business, Adriana Joy Photography, and all of the people that you serve. I know that they feel that when they get their pictures back. So I just wanted to recognize that in you and also point it out, like, hey, I noticed something that I might be doing that's actually working, and and also acknowledging those two things so that we can share them with you, our listeners right now, who might want a little bit of advice on how to get started.
And absolutely. Yeah. That's something that I definitely try really hard to practice just in my everyday life, but especially in my business, because like, I know that I'm very lucky to get to do what I do. I know that everyone doesn't have the opportunity to work from themselves, especially because it can be so scary to have like income to support yourself. So I am very thankful that I'm in the position that I am. I'm very thankful every time. I mean, I think it's a very common thing in the creative world, I think, just to feel imposter syndrome and just feel like, why me? Like, why would you trust me to do this? But I think I've been really trying to just I don't know, just grasp the fact that I have been doing this for a long time and I have learned a lot and I always have more room to grow. But I think I just have to remember, like, I do have a lot of history behind me. I have years and years and years of taking photos in many different circumstances, locations, different types of sessions, things like that. And so when I really have a reality check with myself, I just have to remember that. And that's not in a prideful way. That's not in a I'm better than anyone else way. It's just a reality of I'm getting booked for a reason. Like, people aren't just paying me money for no reason. Like, I have, you know, the backing behind it. So I think that's something that I can also encourage people who are just starting out. I think in a lot of ways, just put your head down. Put your head down, focus on what you're doing. That's something that I feel like I'm still learning myself. But I think when I just focus on what I'm doing and knowing that I'm going down the path that the Lord wants me to go down, I think it's so much better than, you know, looking to the left and to the right and, oh, so-and-so is doing this thing. And, oh, they just launched this thing. And, oh, man, maybe I should do that. You know, and I think that's so easy to fall into. But at the end of the day, like, we're all called to do different things and we might not all be called to do the same thing. And that's OK. So I just encourage you to just put your head down and just really focus on what you want to do, because every single person, as well as every single business, is so unique. And that's like the beauty of it.
Yes. Ah, standing ovation. Like, you nailed it. That's it. I don't know how to wrap it up any better than that. That's so right on. Well, thank you, AJ, for everything, for being kind to me from the very start, for coming on today and just talking about what you love, and for getting the little groups together for the Zoom calls and the co-working space so that people like me continue to move on and move forward in their journey too. So just thank you for it all. I'm really grateful for our friendship, for this conversation, and it's been such a blessing to have you on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed getting to know you better since we, met at the conference and then ran into each other at Target and things like that. I'm just so thankful for all of the people that the Lord has, like, put into my life, specifically with my business, because, like you've mentioned, like, it can be very lonely working from home. I'm literally alone all day, every day. And so, it's super amazing when, like, the Lord places really special people in your life for companions in this journey of small businesses.
And I want to take one more second too and just say, like, isn't it such a cool time? Like, we would not have ever connected if it wasn't for podcasts and hearing both of us here in this Heart and Hustle podcast. I know that gets, like, really macro. I'm a macro view right now, but, like, it's mind-boggling, and I'm so grateful for it. So, like, I hope that comes through.
So, I'm very thankful that I'm not just, you know, constricted to the area that I'm in. I think I've been able to grow so much more because I've been able to meet people online. And I do think it's always funny. I have way more friends across the United States and, you know, the photography world than I do in my own town. And it's not something that I mind. Like, I think it's very fun because then it opens up the opportunity to, you know, fly across the country to go see each other to work on a project or something. The online world can be really beautiful if you let it. So, I love
that's it. That's the whole reason I brought it up, is because I have that little friendship bracelet you gave me. And I think about it all the time, about how, like, there's people out there, real people in real time. And it's the internet that, like, brings everybody together. But, you know, the physicality of having something like a bracelet reminds you that people are real people out there. And and we're all in it for the long haul of it.
Yeah, I'm very much, like, an advocate for people to follow their dreams and, like, what the Lord has placed on their hearts. And I think very much, again, the world is changing a lot. I think going to college and doing the traditional thing like that has become not necessarily rare by any means, but I think it's not necessarily the path that everyone goes down. So I think if you're kind of in that stage, you know, really evaluating that for yourself. And obviously, there's definitely a lot of careers that you have to go to college for. And that's great. It's not a negative thing against college. It's just, it doesn't have to be the path that you go down. As well as if you're, you know, in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and there's this dream that you've always known that you were supposed to do, like, I don't think it's ever too late. Like, I know plenty of people who went back to college or changed careers or things like that, and they started it later. And I think there's no harm in doing that. I think there's, yeah, a lot of beauty in kind of stepping into what the Lord wants you to do and taking that leap of faith. Obviously, it can be very scary to do those things. But I think when you just fully trust that the Lord laid something on your heart for a reason and you just go after it, He is going to reward you for that. And on the same note too, though, if you pursue a dream and something that the Lord has for you, and then a couple years into it, you decide to not pursue it anymore, or the Lord changes your heart, that doesn't necessarily mean it was a failure. I think everything is for a season. Even my own business, like, I absolutely love my job and I really don't see myself doing anything else, and I have no plans of stopping anytime soon. But I also know that I'm probably not going to be taking, you know, wedding photos when I'm like 56 years old. And so I think there's also a piece of that where you can just be encouraged that sometimes the Lord maybe only calls you to something for a couple of years, and that's okay, because maybe the next thing is going to be even bigger and better, and you won't know until you try.
Amen. And I love that we're all in progress. Mm-hmm. That gives, it gives me hope. It really does, because
absolutely,
you can say I've come a long way and I still have a long way to go, but with God, I'm not alone and I'm here for the journey, and in the journey you find the joy. So
absolutely.
Well, AJ, where can we find out more about you and your business, and find out just if we wanted to work with you, how to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you're interested in checking out some of my work and inquiring with me, my website is Adriana Joy Photography. And then my Instagram is Mrs. Adriana Webb. And all of that is also linked on my website too.
And I'll have it in the show notes. If you want to scroll down to the bottom, she'll be just a click away. So I'm so happy to get to talk to you and can't wait to have more wonderful conversations. Thanks for coming on and letting this one be recorded for the Contagious Victories listeners. I know they got a lot of value out of it. So thank you, AJ.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun to get to chat today.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of the Contagious Victories podcast. If the show inspired you to share your own victory story, I'm here to tell you the world deserves to hear it. Submit it to me online at toriblackman.com. Review and subscribe if that feels right. Telling a friend about the show helps Contagious Victories to grow. Plus, we all appreciate a little sunshine. I'm Tori B. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you soon.